Liberty University is a place where they really have true champions. And you have a simple creed that you live by, to be champions for Christ. Whether you're called to be a missionary overseas, to shepherd a church, or to be a leader in your community, you are living witness of the gospel message of faith, hope, and love.
Do you get tired of people asking you what it feels like to be a woman CEO of any company?
I think I was surprised by it, because I think when people started asking, it really was a reflection on the auto industry and what people thought of the auto industry. But, you know, now if I can be a role model for other young girls to pursue engineering careers or pursue math and science, that's a good thing. But, you know, it is a question that gets asked probably more than it should.
From Beijing to Shenzhen, the share bike market has absolutely exploded here over the past 6 months, so much so it's getting out of hand. On any given day here, you'll find bikes strewn across the footpath, dumped in bushes and even piled on top of each other. That's causing a massive headache for share bike companies, as well as local authorities, which are now having to work together to tackle the problem.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Monday. It's May 15th, 2015, 2017. Glad to have you along with us on another business week, another business day. Lots to cover here on the show. Coming up a little bit later, we will have the Director of Transportation from the Metropolitan Planning Council. We'll be talking a little bit about transportation goals for the city and the metropolitan area, and in just a bit, our CEO spotlight. But first, here are some big stories that you've probably been keeping up on overnight. That global cyber attack seems to have been subdued, at least in Europe this morning, as people get back to work. We'll see what happens in this country when things open up in a few hours. Indian authorities were on high alert, as many places were around the globe, for that cyber ransomware is what it's called, affecting thousands, tens of thousands of computers around the world. The Commuter Emergency Response Team of India issued a critical alert. That's its highest alarm. In Europe, Britain's health services, most hospitals hit by the global ransomware attack are back up and running. Seven are experiencing IT disruption, canceling appointments. The latest tally on this is nearly 200,000 computers hit in 150 countries, the hardest hit those being in Europe, especially in Great Britain. On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, futures are pointing toward a mixed open on Wall Street later this morning. The Dow futures up 22, NASDAQ and S&P futures are generally flat to up or down a point. Crude oil is trading up almost 3% this morning at $49.34 a barrel. Asian markets are generally higher, with the Nikkei being the only lower there. In Europe, markets are generally mixed as well. The FTSE is higher, the DAX is lower, the CAC is lower as well. In this country, again, the futures pointing toward a mixed open. Gold and silver are trading a little bit lower this morning. A couple of other stories we're watching for you. A federal judge in Boston has scheduled a hearing in a class action lawsuit by Walmart employees who sued the retail chain for denying health benefits to their same-sex spouses. Proposed settlement of $7.5 million would pay for claims by current and former Walmart associates in the U.S. and in Puerto Rico that were, they say, were unable to obtain health insurance coverage for same-sex spouses from 2011 through 2013. Another story affecting Chicago's United Airlines: access codes to the cockpit doors of United planes were apparently made public. The airline announced that it happened over the weekend or late last week. United has promised it has procedures in place to keep the flight deck of aircraft secure. The safety, they say, of their customers and crew is the top priority, as they're working on figuring out exactly how this happened. In a message is obtained by CNN, the airline's pilots were told flight deck access procedures may have been compromised. It didn't say exactly how. United has about 5,000 daily departures. The airline serves about 215 domestic airports, 120 international destinations. So this is obviously a major deal. It's our CEO spotlight on this Monday. Reverb.com is the online marketplace for musicians where you can buy, sell, even learn and see things about new, used, vintage, and Handmade Music year. The company's been growing by leaps and bounds, so we thought we'd bring in the CEO, David Kalt, to launch Reverb in 2013. David, first, good morning. Welcome to the opening bell.
Excellent. Thanks for having me here, Steve.
Glad to have you in. Why don't we start by telling people what Reverb is?
Well, Reverb's a marketplace. It's a site where musicians can go and basically buy and sell all the gear and musical instruments that they fantasize about all over the world.
And what makes your site unique? What makes it unique?
What we've done is we've taken the passion that musicians share for making music, and we've intertwined that with buying and selling of instruments. So we make it really affordable. We make it fun. We've got lots of content, lots of stories, lots of video. And we really try and make it an experience of learning and sort of finding that next instrument that's going to help you better yourself in terms of music.
We often talk on our show here about startups. Is yours a startup? Would you consider yourself a startup?
I don't love the word startup because often people use the word startup, you know, indefinitely. We were a startup. Now we have 140 employees. We've got lots of revenue. We're very close to profitability. So we're a business, and we aspire to run a really profitable business with a lot, you know, sustaining ourselves. So at some point, you graduate from startup to more mature business.
Yeah. And how would you grade yourself? How are you doing? Are you successful?
Yeah. I mean, the main criteria, we're 3.5 years old, is growth. So every day we're focused on how we can grow. This is a global opportunity. This isn't a regional or national opportunity. This is a global opportunity. So we're spending most of our effort in creating awareness, getting more inventory in Japan and Germany and Australia. So there's still a lot more to do.
Talk to me about the challenges of running that global operation, bringing all of those different pieces together. How hard is it?
You know, as most entrepreneurs know, I mean, culture and getting your team aligned in one physical office has its own challenges. Trying to do that in multi-currencies, multi-languages, and sharing the same vision and then localizing your product to all those audiences has a lot of challenges. These are challenges that I'm very excited for, and I wake up every morning thinking about how we can build a global brand. But definitely challenges in terms of trying to attack your product globally. So you have to pick your priorities in terms of countries and regionality.
People always say music is sort of the common – music and math are the common languages. Do you find that this idea translates well in all of those different countries?
Oh, for sure. I mean, you're preaching to the choir. I mean, I'm a big believer in the relationship between math and arithmetic and musical minds and coding – programming. So there's a lot of obviously thinking in terms of algorithms and programming, and then the world of finance. So running a business kind of brings all three of those together, especially in technology. And musicians, we have a staff of 85% of our staff is musicians across all disciplines. And I'm a firm believer that musicians make great business people.
David, hang on with us. We'll take a break here. We'll continue with David Kalt in our CEO Spotlight this morning from Reverb.com in Chicago.
From ABC News Wall Street Now, shares of department stores sank on Friday, hurt by more evidence that shoppers are turning to the Internet. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 23 points to 20,896. The S&P 500 dipped 3.5 points. The NASDAQ Composite did rise 5.25 points. The global cyber attack, unprecedented in scale, has technicians scrambling to secure the computers that run factories, banks, government agencies, and transport systems around the world. The scale of the impact from the effort to extort cash from computer users is still unclear. Inflation slowed to a 2.2% annual rate in April, suggesting inflationary pressures have eased off in recent months. The Federal Reserve likes to see modest inflation as a sign that the economy is healing. And the U.S. is expected to broaden its ban on in-flight laptops and tablets to include flights from the European Union, a move that could create chaos on the busiest corridor of air travel. European governments have held urgent talks with the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. It's 5:23 in our CEO Spotlight today, David Kalt. He is the CEO of Reverb.com based in Chicago. Reverb is an online marketplace for musicians and online sound gear, purchasing online sound gear and all kinds of other stuff. David, before the break, we were talking a little bit about your success so far. Is there a difference between an entrepreneur who, let's say, starts a business that has to do with food or some other sort of tech as opposed to a music entrepreneur?
The entrepreneurs and business people that inspire me the most are the ones that have a true passion. And you can see through that, whether it's in food or whether it's in, whatever industry it might be, could be healthcare. You can see the passionate entrepreneurs that have real purpose in what they're doing. So I love music. I love instruments. I collect guitars. So my passion exudes for the product that I build. I think our product Reverb wouldn't exist without the passion of myself and all of our team members that share that vision and that passion. When you see that in other companies, it's really evident. Those are the companies I invest in. I invest in the leadership and the vision of people that actually are extremely driven and passionate about what they do.
Do you have to have that business experience, though, too? Or do you look for folks who are just musical in their background?
I take on the responsibility of taking smart, driven, passionate, musically inspired people and teaching them the business side of the business. So if you're curious and you want to actually be part of a team and you want to learn this, look at it as like, an on-the-job MBA experience, those are the type of candidates I get most excited about because they're curious enough to know what they don't know. And want to expand themselves beyond sort of their inherent skill set.
I was talking before we went on the air about people who have these hobbies and buy this sort of stuff online. There is the bland, drab site that you'll go to that I think most people universally hate. How is Reverb different from that? And what's the experience like when somebody goes on your site?
You're so subtle there. that site is obviously trying to accommodate a huge audience of diverse categories, right? So one is we speak to our audience really, really firsthand. Two, we take our job of entertainment really seriously. So on a monthly basis, we have around 10 million unique visitors. Now, all of those 10 million people don't buy something on our site. If you look at a lot of e-commerce sites, their correlation of visitors to transactions is much higher than our site. So we look at ourselves as an entertainment site. Another word I use is a pornography site for musicians. They actually lust after this gear. They think about it. They fantasize it. They hunt it down. And so we serve as a place where we can really guide them through that journey.
If people are listening out there and they're foodies, it is food porn. For music people, they've heard that before. I asked you earlier about your site and how it kind of looks. One of the things I like about it is that even if you're not buying anything, and I think this is what you were just trying to say, there's the blog that's there, there's the news, all kinds of different aspects. You can go and spend an hour or two on your site without buying anything and be happy.
And we're fine to entertain you. And, from a business perspective, we're big into SEO and driving traffic. So we have lots and lots of links of people who love to share our content. And the other thing we think about is when you're thinking about Reverb, we want it to be top of mind. So we know that if you're going to purchase something from Reverb, it might be related to, oh, I read about that. Oh, I heard about that. Oh, did you know that Tom Petty plays that instrument? So we want to be the source. If you're the source, we're more likely to actually get the order.
One of the things, too, I like about your website, and I have to question you on this, is that you've kind of put your money where your mouth is. You have these numbers in the stats on the front page of their website about how many people there have instruments, how many instruments are in the office right now, who plays music, how long you listen to music. You guys are for real. These are some big numbers.
You can't fake it. I really believe, there's a lot of businesses being started these days, and there's a lot of capital being thrown at businesses. But at the end of the day, authenticity and, just being genuine about what you do, there's no way to hide that. And so we are extremely transparent. So we'll tell you what's going on behind the scenes, and we're pretty proud of that, too.
How is that key to the success of raising money, that authenticity?
Well, there's a lot of smoke and mirrors out there. So some investors kind of want to hear more smoke and mirrors. I've done this before. I took a company public. I understand how to work with investors. So I'm a straight shooter. And if the story's not big enough for an investor, I'll pass on that investor. And if an investor looks at it as, wow, this is a great opportunity, but it's not necessarily going to be the next Facebook, I'd be much happier bringing an investor with reasonable expectations, and then you can deliver on that. So there's plenty of investors that love the Reverb story that that we think will be part of our family.
And that money is available out there, too. Venture capital money seems to be flowing all over the country, right?
Yeah. There's a lot of money flowing, and that's in many ways it's a good thing. I mean, there's job creation from that, but I also think there is money chasing ideas as opposed to experienced or true executors. You know, I'm pitched ideas all the time, and then when you really dig in, it's like, do you have the skills and the resources to really execute on this and build something that's going to generate revenue and be an enduring business? I think there's very few of those.
What impact does being based here in Chicago have on Reverb, on its success?
You know, I built three companies in Chicago. It's an amazing economy. It's an extremely diverse economy. The skill set of Midwestern values, hardworking, loyalty, people really roll up their sleeves and they put the effort in there. It's not as transient as some of the coast opportunities. So I'm proud to be a building company in the Midwest, Chicago in particular. It's such a global city, everything just works here.
And being a music town probably helps too, right?
Absolutely. It's great music lovers, great music, the blues, and everyone comes through Chicago too.
Give us a sense of a wow moment perhaps that you've had some point in your life, maybe as a CEO of this company. Is there something out there that sticks in your mind that kind of propels you forward?
You know, In Reverb's been around 4 years, and one of our early investors is one of my very inspiring musicians, Rick Nielsen from Cheap Trick, another Chicago and Rockford guy. And Rick, there was a write up on me in Cranes, and Rick Nielsen read it, and he emailed me, who's someone who I emulate, and he said, "I'm really proud to know you and be a partner in Reverb and work with you, seeing how you treat your people and how you grow your business." And for me, that was like, here I look up to these rock stars as people that write music that inspire me, and that here in business I can have the same impact in reverse. And that was a kind of like, you know, we're all in this together. And this idea of, you know, fans and rock stars and business rock stars is really exciting that he reached out to me in that way. And it really meant a lot to me.
How do you build on the growth that you've seen already? Do you think what you might be like in 5 or 10 years? Where would you like to be? How would you like to be?
I'm committed to taking Reverb public. 2020 is where our projections show that it warrants a public company. Because of the global nature, we're very consumer-based. We have millions and millions of customers. So having the idea of a public company where we actually our customers can be investors. We see ourselves as building a community and an ecosystem, and there's nothing that I would love more than to allow our customers to actually share in the success of Reverb as we grow and continue to expand it beyond just buying and selling gear. We have ambitions for lessons, digital lessons, physical lessons. We have rentals. We have ideas on helping musicians book find gigs. So there's lots of legs to this business beyond just gear, and we're already sort of getting those wheels in motion in terms of the next stages for Reverb's growth.
Well, it's a good meeting you, and best of luck to you in the future, and keep on rocking, I guess.
Awesome. Thanks, Steve.
David Cult is the CEO and founder of Reverb.com, based in Chicago. You could follow them at Reverb.com. And if you want to follow along on Twitter, you spell out the word dot and com, Reverb.com on Twitter.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. The Metropolitan Planning Council recently held a roundtable called Getting Smarter on Transportation. It piqued our interest, probably will yours as well. Let's welcome in Audrey Owenink, who is the Director of Transportation at the Metropolitan Planning Council. Audrey, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you on. This caught our attention because we like being smarter, and we all have to transport ourselves. What was the focus of your roundtable? What kinds of things are you getting smarter about?
Sure. One of the big announcements that was made at the roundtable last Monday was that the Illinois Department of Transportation has established a new performance-based planning approach which means using data to make better decisions about transportation. And they're going to use a new approach to prioritize transportation projects in Illinois to get more return on investment for our tax dollars.
So does that mean that you you look more at the transportation data, like how many cars are moving back and forth, or how much it's going to cost to do a project, or all of the above?
All of the above. There are going to be about 14 different criteria that are used, everything from safety to travel time reliability to freight, looking at freight, looking at community health. So basically looking at projects holistically and making sure that the goals are really defined best for the projects, and then trying to find the solution that gives you the best results for the lowest cost.
How is this different from what's been done in the past, and why does this have to be done now?
Well, so in the past, politics was really too much a part of our transportation decision-making, and the process wasn't very transparent. This process was born out of not being able to explain very clearly why decisions are being made. And if we want our taxpayers to invest in our transportation system, we need them to understand what they're getting for their money. So that's part one. And then part two is the federal government passes transportation authorizations every few years, and the most recent one has a performance management requirement in that states are going to have to set transportation goals and targets and are going to have to measure themselves against their own state targets. So therefore, they're going to have to choose projects that are going to get them to their goals. So partly it's top down, but partly it's that the state just wants to do better with its state resources.
You you mentioned politics there. I'm sure a lot of folks' ears perked up at that. Do you mean that politicians were spearheading and shepherding projects through in their areas, sort of like those pork projects we used to hear about?
Yeah, we used to hear the word earmarks a lot.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, what has been happening is that a long list of projects is sort of living on state project lists, many of which are probably never going to happen, but they sort of live there so politicians can make their constituents happy that they're advocating for something that honestly isn't going to give the state the best return on investment. And it's time to get honest about what we really are going to invest in and get better projects out there. And so the whole idea here is that if people know that they're going to get a real yes, that if you really have a good project and it meets the criteria and it's going to give the state the benefits, then your project's going to get built. If it's not a good project, the state will tell the politicians and the sponsors why. And then they'll have next year they can build a better project. And so everyone is really working together, and it's much more transparent.
Audrey, what are the top projects out there now for the metropolitan area? What are the top issues in transportation that you're dealing with?
Sure. So the Metropolitan Planning Council is a research and advocacy organization. And right now we are going through a strategic process of reviewing what some of the top issues are and talking to a lot of people around the region. We're hearing things like, you know, how do we use technology better to have a more efficient system? Technology has advanced so much lately that it's going to allow us to do things in new ways and serve people better. But there are also risks. For example, automated vehicles, there's a lot of talk about that, and we need to make sure that we manage those things properly for the benefit of the people. We're looking at transit. We have a strong transit culture in our region, but we do not fund transit well enough. We do not support the maintenance of our system well enough. If it's such a big priority for us, we need to put our money where our mouth is. So those are a couple of big issues that we're looking into, and we may be starting some research projects in those areas.
You at your roundtable, you had some of the top names. You had the Illinois Transportation Secretary, some others as well, who really know, like you do, how important infrastructure, transportation infrastructure is. We've been hearing a lot of that out of Washington, that that's going to be a top priority over the coming years. How bad is our transportation infrastructure in the metropolitan area, or is that even a fair way to describe it?
Yeah, our infrastructure is pretty bad. Actually, the Metropolitan Planning Council did an assessment of just the cost to bring our system up to a state of good repair. So just to get rid of the potholes, to get the trains operating so that there are never any slow zones, so we have a really reliable system, the number was $43 billion. That's not new projects. That's bringing the system up to a state of good repair. So we really need to spend our money strategically to get the most out of it.
You know, $43 billion, that seems like almost an insurmountable number there, doesn't it? I mean, do you ever foresee a day when we would get to the state of good repair?
I do. I mean, I'm optimistic. Honestly, if people have more trust in the way we spend the public money, there's more likelihood that they're going to be willing to fund the investments we need. Honestly, if we just increase the state gas tax, say 30 cents a gallon, or increase the cost of getting your registration every year, our calculations were that we could raise that money in 10 years. It's possible, and a lot of states are choosing to fund themselves and tax themselves because there's a lot less certainty out of the federal government. So if we just make the commitment that this is what we want a better transportation system, and there's a lot of people in the state, just a small increment by everyone, and we can get there.
Audrey, thanks for being with us this morning here on the Opening Bell. Great conversation.
Thank you.
Audrey Wenig is the Director of Transportation at the Metropolitan Planning Council.
You're listening to the Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning. Dow futures up 31 points. NASDAQ and S&P futures are mixed this morning. Gold and silver are higher. Oil's almost 2.5% higher this morning, $49.18 a barrel. The latest now on commodities and agriculture is Good Morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. As we begin this market week, my attention, and I would guess the attention of a lot of the other people in the corn market, will be focused on the afternoon planting progress reports that will be issued by the USDA. The big question for me, any improvement in Illinois planting? You may recall last week, the first week of May, Illinois farmers were only able to plant 2% of the state's corn acreage in what is normally a very heavy planting week. So it'll be interesting to see if we've made any improvement that is really significant when we get the report this afternoon. Meanwhile, as we take a look at closing prices on Friday for the July corn contract, it ended up 2 cents a bushel, and the August soybean contract ended down 2.75 cents a bushel. We did see a pretty interesting cattle market again on Friday, particularly feeder cattle, that ended the day up the $4.50 limit. And August live cattle ended the day Friday up $2.50. One of the reasons it looks like we could begin exporting U.S. beef into China, and it could become a big market. Looking ahead, World Pork Expo coming up early in June. And they, in addition to the commercial exhibits and everything else, do have quite a show. The Expo's Youth and Open Swine Shows, 1,350 exhibitors have registered to exhibit a total of 4,300 pigs during the junior show. That's the report for this morning. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Monday, May 15th. The National Association of Home Builders releases its May Housing Market Index today. Treasury Department has international money flows data for March. Still a big day for earnings, still not as many as last week. Focus still on retail. This today begins all of the network. TV networks will begin their fall presentations, or upfronts as they're called. Fox is out of the gate with its annual upfront, presenting its 2017-2018 program lineup. Fourth and eighth grade students test their knowledge in geography today. It's the annual Geography Bee. The Webby Awards are held in New York, and the BET Awards, the Black Entertainment Television Awards nominations, are announced. The ceremony takes place in June 25th. All of those things could move the markets on this Monday, May 15th.